Hello everyone, this is Asclepius with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated March 15, 2019. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sestile Tekel and is a podcast project created by Lord Baldrith and run by Asclepius and Style Tekel. The background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, welcome everybody to another exciting instalment of Echoes. There's been a bit happening this week and we have another update, so we'll get into that shortly. I hope you're having a great time in the game. I've done a little bit in-game this week, not quite as much adventuring as usual, because I've spent a little bit of time as a location scout. As you are aware, as some of you might be aware, the New Britannia Theatre Troupe recently put on a production entitled Daggers in the Dark. Brilliant play written by Gabriel Nightshadow. We had a really fun time producing it, and it was presented at the Sabra Rose Theatre in Rift's End. And we had a fantastic turnout too. We were really excited to see that. It's wonderful when you put your effort and time and energy into something and the community comes together to support you. So a really sincere thanks to everybody who came out to watch what we were doing and see the story. And, well, evidently people enjoyed it, which is fantastic. And also there were a few people who couldn't make it and said, well, why don't you do it again? And, wow, that is awesome. That is a surprise. And so we sort of considered that and think, well, yeah, why don't we? We could even, indeed, be like some of the travelling companies in days gone by. I mean, New Britannia is a little bit like a medieval land, and in medieval England there were these travelling companies who went around the countryside entertaining the masses and performing shows, putting on entertainment, and we thought, okay, maybe we could do the same thing. Alright, so firstly, I've been in talks with the crew, with the wonderful cast that we have. They're a fantastic team, and they don't mind putting in their time and effort and concentration and talent to this production and to all the productions that we do. They're a great team. Haven't quite heard from them all yet, but things are looking promising. We have a location in mind, a wonderful location. I think you'll love it. I've been in talks with the proprietor, and we're just making a few little modifications to get it to work exactly as we would like it. We have a date. It all depends on whether everybody's available, of course. When you're dealing with about a dozen or so actors all around the world, each with their own lives, with their own timetable, with their own family and job and commitments and stuff like that. Yeah, wrangling them all into one place at one time can be a bit of a challenge. But I've got a fairly good gut feeling about this. I think it's going to work. So as soon as we are definite, as soon as we're locked in, we'll let you know. It will probably be about the same time of day as the previous one, that being 8 p.m. on a Saturday, game time, because when you're talking six time zones around the world, that is sort of the time that mostly works for most people. Yeah, for me it's Sunday morning, and for other people it's Saturday evening, for others it's Saturday morning. It's all horrendously confusing, but it's a time that actually works. So we'll probably try to stick to that. And we hope that more people can make it or would like to come and look at this fantastic show. We have one or two technological advancements which will, I think, improve our syncing and the delivery of the product. So, yeah, even if you saw it last time, come along and see it again. I think it's going to be even better. All right, having said that, well, what's new in the week, in the game this week? Well, a bit more adventuring, bit more exploration, bit more grinding, bit more progression towards the next goal. I do have to say the next goal is a long, long way away for me. In ranged combat, the basic ranged skill, I've crawled up to 127. My ultimate aim is 140, and you don't want to know how many experience points are needed for that. That's going to take a long, long time. So it will not happen next week, or the week after, or probably the month after. But with any luck, it will happen. And yeah, then I'll be a little bit tougher. I'm getting a few good hits as it stands, but it'd be nice to get a few more. It'd be nice to be able to stand toe-to-toe with some of the more scary bosses in the game. But we'll see what happens when the time comes. Alright, now we get on to the news. It is update number 323. We have Spring Equinox items, Row Homes live stream today. Okay, a little bit of new news in the release. So that's good. We'll follow through all of that. And a little bit of recurring news, a little bit of repeated stuff, which always happens. So we'll review that as well. All right, firstly, we have the Spring Equinox items. Scott, as in Scotty Jones, has been busily creating all sorts of spring goodies for our avatars. The confection eggs and confection bunnies will be new loot on the Arch Lappin. Oh, don't you love that bunny? Isn't he gorgeous? I have tried to face up to him once or twice in the past. That horrible little rabbit that they put down in the mines. The hesitation there was that I couldn't remember which mine it was, but I know where it is. So, okay, I'll have another go at interviewing him. He's a horrible little bunny and does serious damage. It's like he's supercharged with electricity and does enormous stun damage. But if you can knock him over, you get goodies. And I believe last year we got those rabbit prints, which were quite attractive and good to hang up on your wall. I have one on my wall. Not that I won it, I actually bought it. So I'm not that good. But this year we're going to get confection eggs and confection bunnies. Very nice. Alright, and the article goes on to say a lot of this work was making placeable decorations for food items. So some of these new items will tie to existing items, like cupcakes for the Lord British Birthday Cakes, or a placeable and dyeable cake slice to go with the existing cake slice recipe. Now, the whole dyeable cake will be available in the Crown Shop as a decoration for those looking to save on deco limits. That's instead of placing individual slices. So you've only got one deco item instead of six or eight or something. Okay. Some of these new confections and dyeable cupcake will be part of the Spring Equinox Replenishing Platter, which will be available in the Crown Shop. The new dyeable eggs will also go on the Crown Shop, but there will be an in-game recipe for a plain dyeable egg as well. The confection platter will be available on the in-game decorations merchant for gold, while the confection stand will be available in the Crown Shop. So for more details on Scotty's process, read below. And we have some beautiful pictures here in the news release. It's just a shame that I can't share those on an audio program, but they are rather nice, take my word for it. and here is a forum post by Scotty Jones. He says, "Hello, all, Scotty here again. Here's another post to share what I've been working on over the last week and a half. Well, it's spring again, and wow, has this year been flying by. It's already mid-March." Yeah, it's sort of scary, isn't it? Crumbs. The time just goes by, and before you know it, it's spring over there, it's autumn over here, and the season's changing. I guess you guys who are in the middle of deep freeze will be sort of rejoicing at that. The snow might be finally starting to melt, and you can emerge from hibernation, and that will be wonderful. Okay. And whether you call it Easter, or Ostara, or Eostra, or even just the spring equinox, it's time for me to make stuff related to some kind of springtime festival. That means cool stuff that I'm hoping will be made available to you in some way as decorations in Shroud of the Avatar. Of course I say hoping, because as a standard disclaimer, I just make the art and have no real say in how it gets sold or distributed in the game once it leaves my hot little hands. Any of these items, or sets of items, may get offered as live stream goals, or sold for kotos in the store, or produced in the game when performing recipes, etc. It's going to be up to those in charge to determine that. Well, we've just reviewed in the paragraph above something in answer to those questions. They will be available, and they'll be available in the Crown Store or for gold or recipes, so that's great. Okay, and of course, sometimes it's not always possible to incorporate some of the stuff I make in exactly the way I imagine. I don't decide when things get released, how they get packaged up and offered or sold in the Koto store in-game, added as some recipe or whatever. However, what I will do here is show you everything I've made for this season, give you a little insight as to what inspired me to do so, and then describe the suggestions I'm offering to the decision makers who will be determining how all this stuff gets incorporated. So again, another beautiful picture. If you want to see the picture, rush off and look at the newsletter. It's brilliant. Okay. So, in reference to the picture, guess what all this is? Yeah, you just ignore the Yule garland and stuff and the picture at the back. They're just the detritus of my house full of test crap. Yes, that's right. This is every single potential deco object I produced or threw together within the last week and a half, all smashed together on an insect table, because it was the first table I found to give myself. So, ignore the furniture too. I'll go through all this stuff bit by bit. Let's start with the thing I was actually asked to make, this year's replenishing egg basket. It's based on the ones we've had years past. This new one is remarkable, is that the basket is square, it flares out from base to rim, no off-colour jokes please, and is decorated in lovely pink fabric. Very nice. It may be simple, but sure is pretty. Look at those eggs. And yeah, that is a lovely basket, filled with lovely eggs. If anybody wants a nice Easter basket, that will be the perfect item to grab. Now, for the rest of the stuff, I could have focused on things like flowers and bonnets or whatnot, which I know folks have mentioned wanting more of from time to time, but those are less my forte. Because I've recently had the chance to speak to various groups and folks in-game, and heard various things mentioned over and over. Stuff about the cupcakes that come from the LB birthday cakes, stuff about the cake slices, stuff about wanting more deco food and other such treats. And because I was once a pastry chef myself, yeah, there's a little snippet of information that I didn't know, I decided to get inspiration from my inner sweet tooth and the fond memories I have of crazy good baked treats and confection during this time of year in my youth. All religious stuff aside, these are the kinds of things my mum loved producing around this season. You'll be able to use these to decorate kitchen tables at home, plates of desserts at parties, and of course fill the shelves of your shops, especially if someone wanted to make a bakery. Well, let's take a look at the first grouping of things, a dyeable cake slice, and a dyeable cupcake. They may all look plain Jane, now that's no offence to any Janes out there, with their generic cream colour and off-white interior, but as you can see from the original image up top, they get really snazzy when you start playing with dyes. On the upper left is a whole cake, yep, looks good, that can be placed as a deco, and this is to save on the deco limit. But if you don't mind using up deco slots, you can also take the single slices, arrange them point to point, rotate with Control and Q, and easily make it look like the partially served cake you see on the upper right. Very nice. I've also carefully created the collision shape on the slices so they fit together nicely. And as you can see, the standalone dyeable cupcake will also accept awesome colours. Depending on how the folks in charge want to handle these things, the cake slice could potentially be used to replace what you get when you make the recipe for a piece of white cake. It just looks nicer, doesn't it? Yep. Which currently creates merely an icon in your inventory of a plain slice of cake on a plate. If they choose to hook it up fully with the recipe I mentioned, not only would you be able to eat the product, as you can now, I believe, but you could also decorate with it and dye it nicely. And, of course, as we know, most of the foodstuffs in the game have buffs associated with them. You can consume them, and that gives you a little bit of a buff. I don't think the slice of white cake is terribly dramatic in terms of buffs, but it's nice. And if you had this particular slice of cake, it could even do the same thing if they want to marry them together, and it would look much more attractive. So wouldn't that be nice? Alright, speaking of cupcakes, having found out that the Lord British birthday cakes give cupcakes and fireworks from time to time, and having been told that the cupcakes are merely inventory icons of a singular plain white cupcake with an ankh on top, and having heard that folks are really wanting these cupcakes to be deco items, I've created four sets of individual cupcakes that actually look like they would have been made to match the particular colour scheme of the LB birthday cake for that year. So, and here we are, we have pictures again of sets of cupcakes in the 2015, 2016, 2017 and 2018 colours and patterns. Very, very nice. And he says further, depending on how the folks in charge want to handle these, they could either have each cake give out the one with the ankh decoration appropriate to the colour of cake producing it, give out one of any of the four appropriate colour sets randomly, or even give out the dyeable cupcake from any of the cakes and let the player dye it the appropriate colour or any colour they wish themselves. So that is basically up to the developers what they want to do with this, but hey, they have lots of options. Nice. With all that stuff created, I moved on to something I wanted to add personally. I love the whole feeling of being a kid in a candy shop, and nothing pleases me more than seeing a decorative spread of various different confections like little jewels on a plate. So, I figure that you fine folks might enjoy a similar set of things to display as a decoration. Here, we have a golden plate full of confections, the Spring Equinox Confections Platter. And doesn't that look absolutely brilliant? It makes your mouth water just looking at it. That is fantastic. Of course, this is nothing more than mere eye candy. Aha, see what I did there? I'm assuming you won't be able to eat all this as a single bit of food in-game. I'm assuming it'll just be a deco object for now. However, if those in charge of stuff decide to take another pass at what eating things like slices of cake and cupcakes actually do for you in-game, perhaps being able to eat other sugary treats would be fun for players too. You never know what might happen. So as such, I decided to create all the different components of this dish as separate servings. except the jelly beans. Maybe I can make a jar of those later as a separate deco. That seemed like a reasonable amount to eat at once, would be fun to decorate with, could have separate recipes for them, and if crafted individually and brought together as their own finished items in the right amount, could be used to actually craft the entire plate of treats you see on the platter above. So, brilliant. You might be able to create these items individually with recipes and decorate them, and there might be another recipe to bring them all together and have a plate, as is beautifully displayed in the news release here. So he says further, allow me to introduce them and describe what they're supposed to be, hopefully to help aid in the process of getting these turned into recipes. Now, I'm guessing from this, don't run to the crown shop or the web shop looking for the recipes right away. It might not even happen, or it might happen in a while, but it's a fantastic idea. Okay, at the upper left, we have a serving of confection eggs. Imagine eggshells blown hollow and decorated, washed, and filled with some tasty, sugary, nutty walnut butter nougat. Oh, that's nice. On our world, we would use milk chocolate, but on Novia, chocolate hasn't made an appearance yet, so the ingredients above might suffice. On the upper middle is a serving of four delicious thumbprint cookies, made with pastry dough and filled with some pecan-based sugary confection paste and topped with a nut. They just look delicious. To the right of those, we see another fine serving of four traditional Novian elderberry cream cheese sugar drops, made with sugar powdered to a fine dust, the juice of freshly picked elderberries, and delicious cream cheese blended all together into an icing that hardens quickly once piped onto wax paper. Honestly, he's tempting us. Seriously. On the far lower left, we have a serving of three confection bunnies. Their sweet faces made from that same fine confection as sugar, honey, and walnut meal, and perhaps a hint of brown, blue, and pink dye. And yes, I remember reading earlier that the confection eggs and confection bunnies will be loot on the Arch Lappin, this wonderful friendly rabbit that we all, would dearly love to kill. So if you can knock over one of those, you will have these wonderful deco items that you never know, one day you might be able to eat. That would be fantastic. Deco. And lastly, he says, in the lower middle, you can see a serving of light and fruity petit fours. These could be crafted from light and fluffy cake sheets with layers of pulverized grape and apple pulp mixed with honey and covered in a sugary fondant dyed with hints of pink, yellow, and green. Awesome. Now, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't provide our decorators, bakers, and generous hosts with a few objects on which to display such colourful goods. So, for your pleasure, I have created a paper doily covered fine wooden confection platter and elevated confection stand. I'm assuming these could either be bought in the Koto store, or perhaps their recipe could be purchased. Then these wonderful little display pieces could be crafted. So, we wait and see what happens in that direction. Either way, here they are, and again, another gorgeous picture in the newsletter, which sadly I cannot transmit by radio. Shame. And of course, you can see items displayed on them in my original image at the top. Last but certainly not least, was something I threw in at the very last minute because I had heard numerous people shout out to me that they were eager one day to be able to host delightful egg hunts on their properties or in their towns. Well now, with the deco limit being raised in at least some areas, it seemed like the appropriate time. Here, for your enjoyment, is a set of six dyeable eggs for the season, hopefully soon to be available either as something to craft from a recipe you buy or obtained through the in-game store, along with all the necessary dyes. I've given them a little bit of base colour just to get folks started, but each egg can be dyed two different colours. We may end up making them plain white later, but I added the colours for now so you can clearly see the patterns. And there we go, we've got six different patterns on the eggs. That is amazing. Of course, they're never really meant to be seen so close up in the game. They'll be fairly tiny, delicate looking little things. But once they're dyed in some garish colours, they should pop out nicely for those who seek them carefully. So if you want to have an egg hunt on your property or in your town, this is the perfect thing to do. It'll be amazing to see folks getting together to all dye eggs in preparation for a big egg hunting event. Anyway, I must now draw this post to a close. I've gotten myself hungry with all of this. I think he's got us all hungry with all of this. Wow. Hopefully you've enjoyed the peek at things to come, and we'll have a blast decorating with all this stuff eventually. Take care and happy springtime from Scotty. Well, that is an awesome post, and some beautiful stuff that we will be seeing in the game very soon. Lovely stuff. Okay, next item, the Row Homes live stream, which was today. As always, they slap it on at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday, which is, yeah, sometimes when people are working or sometimes when people are sleeping. So it's been and gone, but they were going to show off Row Homes. All players who complete the quest line in any of the outskirts starting areas will receive a row lot deed. Now, I think this is a great initiative. Housing in a game like this is very important, and there shouldn't be any seriously difficult barrier to obtaining a house. It's a place to call home. It's a place to come back to. It's a place where you can store all your stuff. Trust me, it doesn't take long when you're adventuring to fill up your inventory, and you kind of find you can barely walk because you're so overloaded. You have to put all that stuff somewhere. I mean, yeah, okay, some stuff you can sell, but some stuff you want to keep. And some stuff seems absolutely useless, but you hang on to it anyway, because one day they might make a recipe that includes this stuff. And I've got hundreds of hemlock borers that I obtained from chopping down trees. They have no earthly use at the moment. They're worth about 200 gold each. I could sell them for a lot of money, but I think there might be a recipe one day that I'll need borers for. So you hang on to all this stuff. You need a place to hang on to it. So if you have your own home, you can buy or craft storage chests, and you can fill up these chests with all sorts of stuff. So they were going to show off row homes, and they were showing off an assortment of homes that are available, including storefronts, greenhouses, and themed homes. And they were also showing off how they could be decorated. And of course, a reminder of the stretch goals, which they feature during each live stream. This month, of course, it's the Dark Star items. And as of this reading, they're doing fairly well. 42,384 raised. The next target is 45, so not far away. So good going, community. Keep up the good work. Okay, and of course, you can watch the live streams on Twitch or Discord. Okay, or you can hear it on Discord, obviously. Watch it on Twitch. And if you are a live streamer, you can get an exclusive in-game streamer camera for being a veteran of our live streamer program. Very nice. All right. Next item is the Dark Star recurring items. These are the special items related to Darkstar himself, because it is his birthday on March the 12th. Oh dear, which has been and gone. In case I missed, which I did, I'm sorry. Happy birthday, dear Darkstar, our regent. Hope it was a fantastic day. And thank you for all your amazing work in bringing this game to fruition. Okay, so these items will be available in the Crown Shop for a limited time. They're only going to be available until the 3rd of May. Then if you miss out, you'll have to wait another full year before they come back again. So if you miss out, it's not a major panic. They will be back. But if you want to get one now, then go for it. There is a fur-collared coat, which looks very, very nice. A Lord British versus Darkstar battle banner. A Darkstar shield and a shield pattern pack. That looks good. The basement entrance with the Star of Chaos embossed on it. So they're all there. Have a look at them and grab them if they appeal to you. Right, next item is something they've been promoting for a while now. As we know, the episode 2 is sort of imminently upon us, like probably within 6 months. They're preparing for it. They're doing the spade work. The ground has been turned, metaphorically speaking, and construction is underway. They would, of course, like support and monetary support, financial support. So they're offering Lord of the Isle Episode 2 bundles for people who are willing and able to support in a big way. Only 24 of these are ever going to be sold. And for this, if you wish to support in this way, you will get a swag of rewards, including a Lord of the Isle Place Anywhere Castle lot deed. This is a huge lot. It really is. If you place it in a player-owned town, it's tax-free forever. Or if you put it anywhere else, it's tax-free for a year. You can also put it on water. So it does come equipped with floaties. This is great. You get a title, a Lord of the Isle or Lady of the Isle, a unique home, plus one extra home, a castle basement, a castle wall set, a unique dungeon room, 1,400 crowns, 999 bank slots. You can pick 12 prosperity tools, 2 unique in-game items. You get early access to episode 2, an episode 1 box and map signed by the team, a 1-hour one-on-one conference via video with Chris for design discussion, a silver ring crafted personally by Lord British, an in-game version of that same ring, a tour of the Portalarium offices, that is sort of moot at the moment as they don't have offices, they're all working from home now, but in lieu of that, I think they're offering a tour of Lord British's home, which is going to be even better. A fine dinner and drinks with Lord British, Darkstar and Atos at a location to be decided. But they don't pay the travel costs. You need to get there under your own steam. So that is an amazing package. There will only be 24 of them sold. And at about $6,995. Yeah, I think there will be a limited appetite for them. But one or two people are in already. So kudos to them, and if you feel inclined, then absolutely go for it. Right, next item, as is usual, they mentioned the live stream that was screened last week. This was the Release 63 live stream. They demonstrated the first iteration of player-made dungeon encounters, gave out prizes, and had the second saltwater fishing contest. And now they can reveal the results of that. There were two runners-up, both of whom managed to reel in a sailfish at 2.8, length. That was Belladonna Rose and Catherine Rose. The third prize, winning an ornate post and rope water fence set, was won by Anpu, who reeled in a small marlin at 3.1 length. Second prize, comprising a Viking village water home. Now this confuses me a little. There might be a small omission here, because they say that it was a Tialessa marten at 3.2 length, but there is no name there. And similarly for the first prize, a player-owned town village waterlot property deed. Somebody reeled in a Groon marlin at 3.4 length, but I can't see a name there. So, look, apologies on behalf of the team if somebody's name has been left out, but congrats to all the winners of that competition. That is fantastic. Okay, and as of course always, there is a link to last week's live stream in the newsletter there if anybody wants to go and review it. Okay, Shroud of the Avatar Rewards Program, we talk about that every week. Fantastic way to support the game. If you are concerned about all these wonderful rewards and how you get them, well, there are a couple of ways to get them. All you have to do is contribute to the game, minimum of $5. It's usually during the live stream or during the hours between midday and midnight when the live stream is on. For this release, it's any time during the month. So just contribute to the game and you will receive all these fantastic rewards. Or if you forget to do that, then you don't get them, you miss out. So the other way is to contribute to the game by enrolling in this rewards program for $9 a month on a regular basis. Think of it as a small subscription. Think of it as two cups of coffee to enjoy and support this wonderful game. And you do get rewards for that too, over and above all the live stream rewards, which you're automatically enrolled for. So you get 900 gold crowns every month. Like I said, automatically you participate in these live stream stretch goals. You don't have to remember to be there. An exclusive title every 3 months. You can pick any die pack every 6 months. And 3 obsidian potions every month. The obsidian potions are great. I live on them. They're fantastic. I won't say I'm addicted, but I don't go out without them. Right, the upcoming events calendar. Well, there's the first quarter 2019 update, and they have just listed there all the releases and live streams, dance parties that follow, of course, releases listed all the way through to August, when we're going to have release 69. The game will obviously be looking pretty good and pretty polished by then, and maybe we'll be in a position to look at episode 2. Time will tell. Okay, there's a community event, and this is the merits thing which we talk about every week. Very brief reminder, wonderful app, download it, put it on your phone. As you walk around, your phone, of course, bobbles up and down. Your health app picks up those vibrations and knows that you're walking. That transmits to the merits app, which puts them down as points. And you earn points for free just by walking around. And you can use those points to purchase things, mainly obsidian potions in-game. And every month they run a sweepstakes. You can enter the sweepstakes each day. You enter once per day, 2,500 points per entry. Piece of cake. At the end of this month, somebody is going to walk away with a Circle of Stones Rift dungeon entrance plus a 125-point dungeon. Just what you've always wanted. Fantastic. So it might as well be you. Enter the sweepstakes and you could be a winner. And the best thing is, it costs you nothing. That's brilliant. Okay. The project to support this month, Avatars Radio. I'm always happy when I see that promoted because it is the original radio station of Shroud of the Avatar. It was developed and run and funded by the community. It was founded by community member Amber Rain. They air plays. And let me tell you, as the New Britannia Theatre Troupe, they have backed us right from the beginning. We would not be able to put on our performances without the support and dedication of Avatars Radio. Because as we all get together as players and strut our little avatars around the stage and trying to project the text from the script through our text boxes to tell the story, Avatars Radio is simultaneously streaming the audio out to the audience so the audience can see what we're doing, see the text above our heads, and hear the audio at the same time. And hopefully the text above our heads is somewhere close to the audio that's being received. We do have issues with that. At our last presentation we had big issues, and this is all down to the internet, the cursed internet. I will apologise publicly for that, because the radio stream, the audio stream from Avatars Radio, for some reason takes time to get from the studio where it originates to listeners, and it can take variable time to get to different listeners. And if we were all listening to Avatars Radio and coordinating with that, it would end up to be a steaming mess. So we devised a technique where one of us, in this case it was me, listens out to Avatars Radio. When I hear the music starting, I shout to all the others over Discord, and we all start playing our own personal file of the soundtrack. That way we stay in sync with each other. Right. On this occasion, I actually live on the other side of the world from where the stream originated. I think the stream took quite a while to get to me. And when I heard it start, I think we were about 50 seconds behind Amber, who was recording the video. So text is sort of, woefully out. We have performed surgery on the video, getting things back into line. When we release the video, it's going to look a lot better. We have taken steps to correct that problem or to minimize it. We can't take it away, but we've taken steps to minimize it, and hopefully the next performance will be closer, and we just have to do our best. But Avatars Radio, an awesome organization. They do music, they do sermons, they do speeches, they organize the monthly release dance parties, and they are such a lot of fun. A whole lot of people go to those. They're fantastic. And the DJs, they put in their time voluntarily for the love of the game. They spend so much time and so many hours presenting this for us. And the only thing that the radio station needs is financial support, because they're a commercial organisation. They play music. They're looking at licensing fees and royalties and stuff like that. So, yeah, it has to exist. It's not part of Portalarium. It's run and funded by the community, so they have a Patreon page. If you appreciate Shroud of the Avatar, I strongly encourage you to support Avatars Radio, or if you want to join in and be a DJ or compose music or contribute in any other way, they'd be delighted to hear from you. Finally, we have, as always, our resources, Players Helping Players, the new Player Welcome Forum, and the Player Created Resources Forum have the best Player Created Resources for Shroud of the Avatar. They are separate areas on the forum. You will find a wealth of stuff there. If you've got a question, that's the place to go. And there is also a community resources page for a complete listing of all things community. Okay, well, that's about all the news I can find or think of this week. I will bid you all a fond farewell for the week. Hope you have a great time in the game, finding out lots of new things, doing lots of exploration. Oh, just by the way, one thing I did this week was generate a new character on my second account for reasons that have to do with our theatrical production and the videoing thereof. It'd be nice to have somebody sitting up the back taking a video at the same time. And I've fiddled with and tweaked my system so that if I am running two monitors, and if I turn the audio quality, the video quality down to fastest, yeah, they both work. I can run both characters at once, so I can sit one on in the back row and take the video and record it as the production and the process is going on. So, okay, that's cool. So, but yeah, short story, created a new character, went through the introductory sequence again, which of course I haven't done for the last couple of years. It is immensely updated. It is much more user-friendly, I think. Much easier to follow. I opted for the path of truth, ended up in Blood River, then Blood River Outskirts, and I'm thinking to myself, hey, this is actually a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying this. I could actually get into this and keep on going. And it was a real stern effort of will that I had to say, no, I only minted this character for one specific purpose. I'm going to stop here and shift this little character over to my house and have her available for this purpose. Otherwise, it was so tempting to just keep going, because even the introductory scenes now are a lot of fun, and I think new players are going to have a great time. All right, having said that, I'll finish off. The background music for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Tackle for the technical work on the newscast. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on Avatars Radio. Don't forget, as I've said, they need support. Just visit Avatars Radio info and click on the Patreon link. This is Asclepius signing off until next week with Echoes from the Caverns.